So I tried throwing a couple on the sideline, and I couldn't at that point. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with tapping out of a game or anything like that. I love my teammates, and I'll go to the very end for them and this fan base and everybody. So that's what hurts me is, like, I couldn't finish the game. But, again, we'll see tomorrow.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky here on The Morning Roast. That was Brock Purdy talking about leaving the game yesterday due to an elbow injury. Again, UCL appears to be okay. They ran some tests yesterday, but they're going to do some more imaging. MRIs being taken today. And again, any information, any and all, we will relay that to you. 888-957-9570. In the meantime, we're talking about that Detroit Lions victory over the San Francisco 49ers yesterday. 40-34, the final. And Joe, it almost looked like he was going to be in tears. Like, and that's what's concerning to me when I was watching that. Just watching and looking at his face, that hopefully it's not serious, but that's what scared me the most if I was a fan. Like, oh, he looks in disbelief. Now, maybe that's a culmination of things. Maybe it's just like, wow, earlier in this calendar year, we were really in position to win a Super Bowl, and now we're just getting our asses kicked defensively. And now I have to miss the game, and the Lions are going to be 14-2, and we're 6-10, and we're going to be talking about the NFL draft here in another week, and our season's going to be over. And, you know, great, I might be getting paid. But it was just Brock's face on the sideline after he had to come out. It was like I was looking at the 49ers fan base almost. Like, just not quite in tears, but just looked punch drunk, right? That's just
kind of the season's
been, right?
Left tackle out, generational running back out, wide receiver one out. You know, middle linebacker who's one of, you know, on a short list of greatest linebackers in 49er franchise history, looks nothing like the player that he was last year ever since the injury in whatever, week four, week five. He's been playing for 10 weeks and he looks completely compromised.
Without his partner in crime.
D-Winner's getting up after every play like it's the final play of his career. I don't know what's going on. Talanoa Hufanga getting blown by. I mean, their defense was so bad. Jahmyr Gibbs looking like vintage Alvin Kamara meets Jamal Charles, while Jameson Williams is galloping anywhere he wants. They did a hook and ladder and scored. No one touched anyone.
It was bad. The Hufanga one, I'm glad you brought that up, because there was at no point, I was like, where's Hufanga? Until the very end at the 1 yard line, it just wasn't even close. I was like, I know you got a club on your hand, my guy, but your legs shouldn't be that compromised. Looks slow.
Nick Bosa was the only redeeming quality. Maybe a couple Denny Amonor Lenore plays.
Jordan Elliott had the block on the extra point.
Okay. We also had a fumble on special teams. We also had three separate special teams gaffes where we missed field goals and an extra point.
Oh, real quick.
And then offsides.
Well, the worst play last night on special teams wasn't even the missed field goals. It was the onside kick attempt.
That's the second time he's done that.
Jake Moody crushed that thing out of bounds, like me taking a free kick penalty in soccer.
Serious exit velocity on that one.
It was the worst onside kick attempt I've ever seen in my life.
That's the second one. Remember, Wisnowski earlier this year had the worst one we've ever seen. This was where Wisnowski topped it. Like it was a drive, like it was the opening tee of Pebble Beach where he paid $1,000 to play, and he just barely gets it past the red tees. And then literally Moody did the exact opposite and blasted it through. Like, dog, what are you doing?
Oh, maybe Jake Moody's going to have some more time to play at Pebble Beach in these next few weeks, because he's damn sure not going to be on the San Francisco 49ers, I'll tell you that. This segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Philmo, Mike, I'm going to get to you in just a second. We're going to hear from Brock Purdy at 7 o'clock. Big Boss Man's cutting up and splicing some of his responses in regards to his injury and some of his turnovers yesterday, and whether he should have played in the game at all. Listen, I'm saying it. I don't think he had anything to gain from playing in these final 2 weeks of the regular season. I don't. And that's when it's up to coaching, and it's up to the general manager, John Lynch, who showed more emotion in the booth than damn near the entire team for most of this season. He looked pissed. He looked angry. He looked emblematic of the entire fan base and how they're feeling at home yesterday. Just watching what he is. And I love the play-by-play again. Aikman and Buck, best in the business, just breaking it down how angry he is. He looked like he wanted to play yesterday in that game. But I don't think he should have played. And it's up to the front office and the head coach sometimes to protect players from themselves. because Brock hasn't looked right all year. He's been injured. He's been battered. He's been beaten. He's missed games. His shoulder, like you've mentioned it multiple times, he had to crow hop that throw, that 40 yarder to Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
And a better throw, just a little bit more velocity on it. It's a touchdown walking in.
But he did make some nice throws.
He did.
On the final 2 minute drive before the end of the half, he threw a dime to Guerrero up and over the top. He threw a dime to George Kittle. He had nice throws. And then he had some really bad throws. Nice throws, dude. Like, that's the part that's frustrating with Purdy. It's a huge mixed bag. It really is. Now, your point about the organization shutting them down, that's a different conversation. I'm talking about the player. So, like, I think that's a fair point. Like, they said this with Dre Greenlaw. Sometimes we have to protect Dre Greenlaw from himself. If the organization wants to not play the quarterback, I get it. I think they need to do their own due diligence, though, and be like, can this guy hold up for 17 games? Like, what does he look like when he has a dinged up shoulder and we go on a playoff run and we're paying him $55 million a year? See, I think part of their maybe reluctancy to shut him down is maybe they have the same questions I have.
Well, and that's concerning because the whole reason we're even in this Brock Purdy situation, it's a trickle-down effect. The reason they moved off of Jimmy Garoppolo is because of the injuries. Couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Just could not stay. They won with him. Now, it looks, you know, there's the whole conversation. Is he a winning quarterback? This, that, and the other. And we spend thousands and thousands of hours talking about Jimmy Garoppolo ad nauseum. Well, we're not going to do that. But the main reason why they moved off of him and traded up to get Trey Lance, because he couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah.
And then he got Trey Lance, and then he couldn't get onto the field. And then when he did, he got hurt. And then you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup, he gets hurt, and then you're on Brock Purdy. Now all of a sudden, Brock Purdy's looking a little like, oh God, are we seeing another rerun here when it comes to another injured quarterback in the history of the injuries that we've had? That was, hell, you can go back to Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. This has been a constant theme, Joe Shasky, as a 49ers organization, of 49ers quarterbacks just constantly just getting hurt. And it's pissing me off if I'm a fan.
I know, I hear you. And the part that sucks the most is you thought you were going to marry this guy with a 5+ year contract and he would be your 8 to 10 year solution. Now, I don't know how anyone could feel like this is your 8 to 10. I'm not saying you get rid of him. I'm not saying I'm done with him. I'm not saying this. Jared Goff at one point was at a crossroad in his career. All right. And then he completely bounced back. But I never had serious shoulder, elbow, arm questions with Jared Goff. That's your moneymaker. That's your moneymaker. And like, you know, your confidence, your accuracy, those things can wane at times. Like, they can be a moving target, almost like a relief pitcher. You know what I mean? But your moneymaker? This is a big one.
Yeah, no, it is. Shout out Chris Moneymaker, and, you know, going all in. Full Filmo Mike, he wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. What's up, Filmo? What you got, man?
Hey, man, I got a lot to unravel. But first of all, your name is so beautiful. Do not allow anybody to call you Spadone anymore. It's like calling San Francisco San Fran.
Hey, you know, some people, I appreciate that, man.
Real talk. My last name is Fontella. Somebody be like, Font. Nah. I'm like, nah, bro. You got to say the whole name, Fontella. Anyway, with that being said, Moody, let's get on him first.
Oh my,
I got like three things to get on. Moody. So Debo came at you with the tough love. You didn't respond to that. Kittle came to you with the softer approach. You know what I'm saying? There's two ways to lead, for real, for real. Draymond was talking some other stuff. It's two ways to lead. Either you're going to get on somebody or you're going to, you feel me, take a softer approach and try to, like, nurture them up.
Put your arm around them, yeah.
Yeah, neither of them worked. I don't know what to do with Moody. I don't know if you do an intense training camp battle with him. I don't know if you just let him go. Hutchinson said don't just let him go, but that was before the game. Also, the defense.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's a lack of talent or if it's the scheme. But 7-8 yards off the player, 10 yards off a player when it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5. Why? Why not make it tough for them? You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, or switch it up. But to do it every time.
Filmo, before you move off that, it was 4th and goal from the 4-yard line, okay?
And they were 1,000
yards off of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's one of the great slot players in the game. He turned around and Troy was like, well, it was like a pivot route, but no one was guarding him. And he's just like, oh, I'll just back in. Then later on, at the 50-yard line on one of the final drives, Laporta's wide open on the exact same soft zone, backed off coverage play, and you could see they panned to John Lynch both times. John Lynch was ready to kill someone, just like I was. It made my head explode.
No, seriously, it's like, why are they this open on crucial plays in the down? I understand they like to run zone. Mm-hmm. Why not when it's 3rd and 5, 4th and 5, 4th and 8, 3rd and 8?
Clamp up.
Why not play some man?
Clamp up.
Switch it up. Do a cover shield. Do some Vic Fangio. One side man, one side zone. You feel me? Like, I don't get that. I got to give it up to, I got to give it up to Bosa.
He played good.
Bosa, now he's overpaid. Maybe we could do something. He probably won't do a restructure. I don't want to trade him because he played with heart, man. One thing about Bosa, man, you can say whatever you want. His limited abilities and stuff like that. He got shorter arms than most, you know, all that. But he played hard. He didn't have to come back into the game. He got hit. Did you see when they throw it down?
Yeah.
What his head and neck did? I know he's sore today. For real, for real. So I got to give him that, Bill. But we got to do – we have to get a better O-line, upgraded O-line. They didn't play that bad yesterday. We got to get a better O-line. And then we have to get a better defensive line, man. I don't know what happened. We used to build on the line, and we whipped out with Thomas and Kinlaw. We got to get a stud back at defensive lineman, and we need a mixture of – some youth, because we not to say that we look slow, because sometimes we look slow and sometimes we don't, but we need some youth, just like the Warriors kind of need that youth, and we also need some savvy all-pro, all-star Pro Bowl players, man. We got to fix it up. And last but not least, we've been disrespected like hell. They've been hitting the schmeeze on us. Somebody did. When you from the Bay, maybe the Niners players don't understand. We from the Bay. So we see somebody hit the schmeeze. It's like, damn, that's a Bay Area dance. We see Geno Smith do the night-night. You feel me? They disrespecting the region, and they know what they doing.
There he is. He was fired up. That's Film on Mike right there. 888 888-